Good morning. Can everybody hear me in the back? I tend to be soft-spoken. Okay. I'm Jenny Swanson, and I'm headed to Ethiopia as a medical missionary through SIM, which is Serving in Mission. It used to be called Sudan Interior Mission, so that may be a more familiar title for you. But it's a real blessing for me to be here, so thank you all for having me. I'm here to share the marvelous work that the Lord is doing in and through me. And I'm here to ask for prayer supporters especially. I'm really in desperate need for prayer. You see, I'm a city girl at heart, and God is sending me to a very remote village in Ethiopia. I'm fluent in English, hopefully you can tell. And God is sending me to a place that speaks Amharic and Meten. I'm trained as a nurse midwife, and God is sending me to a clinic where I'll need the knowledge and the skills of a physician. And there's so many details like this that make me sound really insane for following through and being obedient to the Lord. And I empathize with Noah as he built this huge boat in the desert. And I can see why people would mock David for standing up to Goliath's challenge. Things like this really just aren't rational. But it's not about me, and it's not about my limitations. It's not about what makes sense to other people. It's about God who called me. It's about how I trust him to lead me and how I trust him to see me through. From this perspective, it makes all the sense in the world to pour out expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. I am that sinful woman. My life has been touched by a personal Savior, and I'll pour out every last drop that I have if it honors him. Well, I wasn't always so close and devoted to the Lord. In fact, for the better part of 20 years, well, I'm only 21, just so you know. Not quite. I was a prisoner for a long time to a works-based faith. And I believe that God was extremely distant from me to help me in my time of need. But brick by brick, I walled out anything that threatened the image of perfection that I worked really hard to portray. Brick by brick, I had tried to protect myself from pain that I should have felt and confronted. And brick by brick, I tried to wall out God. I knew the story of Jericho and its mighty walls. And you'd think I would have realized that God would bring my walls crashing down. You see, several years ago, I was laying in my bed at night. The room was pitch black, and tears were streaming down my face. I had lived through a significant depth of hurt. It was the kind of pain that wounds a person to the core, and it left me wondering if God had forsaken me. I had never dealt with that pain, and now, in that moment of crisis, I called out to God from the pit. With a demanding spirit, I prayed this prayer of desperation. God, if you are ever going to reveal yourself to me in a real way, now is the time. I'm hanging on by a thread here, and if I don't hear from you now, I'm not sure I'll have the faith to keep believing that you're there. And in the darkness, I waited for an answer, and I waited. Well, thanks to the ministry of my parents, I accepted Jesus Christ at a very early age, and I grew up with the church building as my second home. My first encounter with SIM was when I met missionaries from my home church when I was about 7 years old, and I was really inspired by the wife's work as a missionary nurse. And I learned to respect SIM because of their loving witness. And growing up, for many years, I prayed for them. And I find God fascinating that now they pray for me. For as long as I can remember, I have always known that I would serve God as a medical missionary. In fact, I recently told my parents, this is what I was born to do. My heartbeat has always been, here am I, send me. I excitedly prayed for years for the Lord to reveal to me the when and where, and I began taking steps that would lead me down that path. I went on several short-term mission trips to ensure that my passion for overseas ministry translated into reality. And I took that first step on foreign soil, and I was completely hooked. Everywhere that I traveled, I wanted to stay, and everyone that I met, I really loved. I completed my nursing degree and joined the Navy Nurse Corps. While I was in the military service, the Lord led me to work in labor and delivery, and I loved it, every minute of it. In order to be able to serve in missions where there may be no physician, I knew that I would need additional schooling to prepare. I left the military service at the end of my four years, and I went to graduate school at Wichita State University to become a nurse midwife. It was while I was in graduate school that that crisis of faith that I was speaking about had occurred. Repressed wounds from the past went deeper than my works-based faith, and God seemed too distant to help me. In my room, the darkness of my spirit was actually darker than my room that night. And I waited for God's response, but my room remained black and silent. No answer came, and I was left at an impasse. Either God was there, and he was choosing not to answer, which made me really angry, or he wasn't there at all. I had a decision to make. Would I keep on believing in him or not? Well, to be honest, I hated that I really couldn't shake my faith, but that mustard seed was still there. I went to sleep angry at God that night. I woke up 2 hours later and dragged myself to church, and there's no way around it. I was a disaster. I sat on a pew, the service began, and God responded. The entire service was God speaking directly to me. It was as if he and I were the only two in the room. As my pastor read from Jeremiah 31:3-4, God said to me, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful." And for the first time in my life, I experienced the nearness of God. I'm a living witness that God is who he says he is, and that he's faithful to do all that he has promised. He has indeed rebuilt me. Walls of God's strength and security in Christ now stand where walls of fear and pride once stood. Like Jacob, I had wrestled with God. Like Jacob, I have been blessed. And like Jacob, praise the Lord, my walk will never be the same. It's with a solid faith in Christ and relationship with God that I begin this ministry in Ethiopia. My sending church is Beacon Community Church in Goddard, Kansas, which is the daughter church of West Evangelical Free in Wichita. Our pastor, Craig Seifertz, went to school with Pastor Paul in Illinois, and they even lived in the same dorm. West E-Free has been planning for quite some time to wanting to daughter a church in Goddard, Kansas, and I was all for it, but honestly, I wasn't really planning to be a part of it. You see, I was comfortable, but I was willing, and I asked the Lord if he would have me to go. His still, quiet voice spoke to my heart and said, "I have a place for you there." At my new church, I met a missionary couple that worked for 31 years for the sake of the gospel in Ethiopia. As they talked about Tekem Teshet, about its beautiful people, about the village's many healthcare needs, and about the spiritual lostness of those people, the more I realized that that was where I fit. The conversation this missionary couple and I had that day in January 2008 set me on a course to serve with SIM in Tekem Teshet. And I know it's really shocking, but God was right. He did have a place for me at that daughter church. God rewarded my obedience by showing me not just that I would serve in Ethiopia, but that I would have the honor of serving as Beacon's first missionary overseas. The church is less than 1 year old, and they're sending out one of their own overseas to proclaim the good news, and that excites me. As God brings me on this journey to Ethiopia, the church is establishing its identity as a church that is committed to mission work. What a cool thing it is to be on the cutting edge of ministry like that. And go ahead to the next slide. And that's me. And the next one. This is a little bit of information about Ethiopia. I'm not going to read it for you. You can kind of read it for yourself. And go ahead to the next slide. Some of the things that we'll be doing in the clinic. And go ahead to the next slide. I want to make sure that this is clearly stated. This is not a humanitarian outreach. I do believe that we reflect the compassion of Jesus Christ when we reach out to meet the physical needs of others. But I also believe that physical healing in and of itself does not meet the greatest human need. The greatest human need is to know God. I will certainly pour out a tremendous amount of time and energy to bring health and healing to the Met-En people, but I will do it with a commitment to share truth every opportunity that I get. I will speak of the saving grace and transforming power of Jesus Christ. I will speak of the power of God to release people from oppression of false doctrines. I will speak of the discipleship and unity needed within the church body. Sometimes I will speak these truths with my mouth, but I pray I will always speak these truths with my life. I pray that the Met-En people will see Jesus in me. Now that you've heard about this ministry and have seen what I'm headed for, does it seem daunting like Goliath? Does it seem ludicrous like building an ark in the desert? Are you motivated to pray? Because that's what it will take. If an English-speaking city girl is to minister effectively in remote Ethiopia, it will only be possible because of the Lord. These are some of my timelines. I'll be headed overseas in August, Lord willing. I have some training to do before then, and I'll start language school in the capital of Ethiopia in September. And two languages, Amharic and Met-En. Go ahead to the next slide. There you guys are, hopefully prayer supporters. All right, next slide. This is how I feel most days, like I'm hanging on for dear life. So prayer requests for the logistics of things, materials, classes that I'll take. Go ahead to the next slide. Please pray for the team that they'll be ready for me when I get there and that I'll be ready for them when I arrive as well. This is the Australian midwife that I'll be working with as well. Go ahead to the next. This is my dog. She reads the Bible too. Just an example of some of the sacrifices you make when you do the Lord's work. She's going to be adopted out to friends of mine in Kansas City. And the next slide. There's my family. And I was really touched by the sermon. Talk about faith training. It's my mom next to me, to my left. She had a stroke last week, a small stroke, but it made her very sick. And she's home now and she's doing well. But talk about faith training. It was a tough week. And my dad to the left, my brother David and his wife Carrie. So pray for that grieving process as we learn to separate and trust the Lord as I'm far away. And the next slide. After the service, I'll be at the table. So please, I'd love to come talk to you and answer questions that you might have. If the Lord has moved your heart to partner in prayer with me, that would be wonderful. Let me know. And I just want to read one scripture before I close. It's found in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and on the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Praise the Lord. Thank you.